What if the most chilling part of a true crime case isn't what we know, but what we never find? On February 9th, 2004, a promising nursing student named Maura Murray crashed her black Saturn on a rural New Hampshire road. Witnesses saw her. Police showed up minutes later. But Maura vanished. No blood, no footprints in the snow, no cell signal. Just a cracked windshield, a rag stuffed in her tailpipe, and a mystery that has haunted the internet for 2 decades. How does someone disappear in a matter of minutes from a visible road, during daylight, with no trace? Especially when multiple people saw her moments before. Some say she ran. Others believe she was taken. But between suspicious silence from her family, a string of strange coincidences, and an internet army of Reddit sleuths, one thing is clear. The truth isn't hiding in the woods. It's hiding in the details. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Disappearance. It was Monday, February 9th, 2004, just after 7 p.m, and the temperature had dropped below freezing in Haverhill, New Hampshire. The two-lane stretch of Route 112, known to locals as Wild Amonosuk Road, curved along a dense, quiet section of forest. A black 1996 Saturn sedan stood awkwardly on a snowbank, hazards flashing, front end damaged, and a rag stuffed into the tailpipe. Inside, the airbags had deployed. The driver's side windshield was cracked. An open box of wine sat in the back seat, along with a book on nursing, a stuffed animal, and a few personal effects. The driver, a 21-year-old University of Massachusetts Amherst student named Maura Murray, was nowhere in sight, and no one would ever see her again. A student on the edge. Just days before her disappearance, Maura had been caught using a stolen credit card to order food. On February 5th, she broke down in tears during her campus security job, unable to focus. Her supervisor had to walk her home. When asked what was wrong, she muttered only, "My sister." On February 7th, she emailed her professors that there was a death in her family and that she would be away for the week. But there was no death. Then, Mark, an open file, a broken family, and a warning. Some stories don't end. They just echo. On February 9th, the day she vanished, Maura did something strange. She packed up her dorm room, returned borrowed items, and emailed her boyfriend saying she loved him. She withdrew $280 from her bank account, bought alcohol, vodka, Baileys, and wine, and drove north from Amherst, Massachusetts, leaving behind no note, no destination, and no clear reason. She didn't tell anyone where she was going, but she had printed directions to Burlington, Vermont, the final sightings. Around 7:27 p.m., a local woman named Faith Westman called 911 to report a single car accident in front of her home. She told dispatch that a car had run off the road. She saw a young woman standing outside the car, walking around. Within minutes, another neighbor, Butch Atwood, a school bus driver, pulled up and offered to help. He described the driver as a young woman, about 5'7", with shoulder-length brown hair. She seemed shaken but refused assistance. She insisted that she had called AIA, even though there was no cell service in the area. Atwood drove home and called 911 himself, worried. By the time Officer Cecil Smith arrived at 7:46 p.m, Maura was gone. A 10-minute window. In less than 10 minutes, Maura Murray had disappeared. There were no footprints leading away from the car in the fresh snow. No blood, no dragging marks, no sign of a scuffle. Nothing indicated she had fled into the woods. Search dogs would later trace her scent 100 yards down the road, and then it vanished, as if she had been picked up by another vehicle. The car was locked. The driver's side airbag was deployed. Her keys, wallet, and cell phone were missing. Inside, the wine box was open and had spilled. The rag in the tailpipe raised suspicions, too. Some experts believe it was an old car trick to prevent exhaust smoke, often used when trying to avoid detection by police or emissions tests. But why? Why would Maura hide her location? What was she running from? The missing person timeline. Initially, police treated the case as a standard motorist gone astray. There was no sense of urgency. After all, adults are allowed to disappear if they want to. But Maura's family, especially her father, Fred Murray, sounded the alarm immediately. Fred had driven up from Massachusetts the night before, helping her search for a new car after she'd recently crashed his Toyota. He insisted she was not suicidal, not irrational, not a runaway. By the next day, a full missing person report was filed. The local police coordinated with state troopers, cadaver dogs, helicopters, and thermal imaging. Nothing turned up. Clues in the car inside the Saturn were peculiar details. The car's position on the snowbank didn't quite match the damage. Investigators believed the accident was minor, but it was enough to deploy airbags. The cracked windshield suggested Maura may have hit her head, but there was no blood. There was no sign she had been drinking in the car, though her purchase of alcohol earlier that day, including a Coke bottle, possibly containing mixed liquor, pointed toward preparation for isolation or numbing. Even more odd, her cell phone records indicated she had made a call to a number associated with a condo rental in Bartlett, New Hampshire. She never confirmed a booking, but it raised questions. Was that where she planned to go? The emails she left behind. Before leaving campus, Maura sent a strange series of messages. One email to her professors claimed there had been a death in the family. There had not. Another email to her boyfriend, Billy Rausch, said, "I love you more than anyone. I love you." Billy, an army lieutenant, would become a central figure in the case, not only for his concern, but for what came after. He arrived in New Hampshire within days to help search, but his cell phone records, along with some voice messages, would later draw scrutiny from internet sleuths. Some even claimed he had been controlling, or that Maura was trying to get away from him. Others say he was simply a devastated boyfriend. But in a case with no body, no suspect, and no crime scene, everyone became a suspect. A family under scrutiny. Fred Murray quickly became the most vocal figure in the media. He begged police to release information, questioned their search protocols, and even accused them of botching the investigation. He believed his daughter was abducted, and still does. But, as with most high-profile disappearances, speculation turned inward. Why had Maura been struggling at UMass? What about the previous car crash she was in just 2 nights before she vanished, when she hit a guardrail on the way to meet her father? Why had she used a stolen credit card? Why lie about a death in the family? To some, these were signs of stress or shame. To others, they were signs she was preparing to vanish. The red truck theory. One of the most persistent local rumors emerged early in the investigation, that a red pickup truck had been seen near the crash site shortly before or after Maura disappeared. No witness could identify the driver. No red truck was ever linked to a credible suspect. But many in the community, including some former law enforcement officials, believe this is the key to her disappearance. What if Maura accepted a ride? What if she was taken? The terrain was remote. The woods stretched for miles. If foul play occurred, it could have been swift and silent. Online obsession begins. As media coverage grew, so did online interest. In the early 2000s, blogs and early forums were already speculating. Then came web sleuths, then Reddit, then podcasts. Armchair detectives dissected every detail, the rag in the tailpipe, the Coke bottle, her last ATM footage, and whether the local police officer who arrived, Cecil Smith, was actually the one on scene. Some questioned the official timeline. Others questioned whether law enforcement was covering something up. To date, none of the online speculation has led to conclusive evidence. But the case of Maura Murray became one of the internet's first viral true crime mysteries. Psychic tips, false leads, and frustration. Over the years, Maura's case attracted countless false leads. Psychics claimed visions. Bones were found in a basement near the crash site in 2019. Ultimately, not hers. A supposed sighting in Canada turned out to be a mistaken identity. An old man on his deathbed claimed he saw her, but it went nowhere. Police followed up on hundreds of tips. None resulted in a confirmed location, suspect, or motive. To this day, Maura's remains have never been found. The last photo, the last known image of Maura Murray, is a still frame from a security camera at an ATM in Amherst. She's withdrawing cash, alone, wearing a dark jacket. Her face is calm, almost blank. Her posture is casual. Nothing in the image suggests panic. But she is going somewhere, with alcohol, printed directions, and silence. She is disappearing, on purpose or by accident. And less than 24 hours later, she'll be gone. Chapter 1. Recap. Maura was under stress with signs of personal trouble. She lied about a death in the family and packed her things. She crashed her car and vanished within minutes on a quiet New Hampshire road. No blood, no footprints, no phone signal. Just silence. The case remains unsolved over 20 years later. Maura's disappearance isn't just about what happened that night. It's about all the strange details no one can explain. And in the next chapter, we'll explore the investigation, the media firestorm, and the swirling theories that refuse to die. Chapter 2. The Investigation, Family Secrets, and Internet Obsession. When a young woman vanishes into thin air, the world expects answers. But when 20 years go by and none come, suspicion doesn't fade. It ferments. In the case of Maura Murray, every clue seems to spawn another contradiction. Her disappearance is one of the most baffling cold cases in American history, not because of what we know, but because of what we can't verify. From police mishandling to online theories, from personal secrets to public obsession, what followed after her crash was not just an investigation. It was a slow-motion implosion of trust. Law enforcement's early missteps. From the beginning, the investigation into Maura's disappearance was plagued by confusion and contradiction. The responding officer, Cecil Smith, initially wrote in his report that he was driving SUV 001. But photographs from that night and statements from other officers suggest it may have been a sedan. Why does that matter? Because some internet sleuths believe it wasn't Smith who arrived first at all. They believe another officer, Bruce McKay, from a neighboring town, known for being aggressive, may have been at the scene. McKay would later die in a high-profile shooting during a traffic stop years after Maura vanished. This connection has fueled years of speculation that Maura may have encountered someone in uniform and was frightened enough to flee. The official record remains unchanged, but the fact that such a simple detail, who arrived first, remains disputed, has cast a long shadow over the investigation. The tension with the Murray family. Fred Murray, Maura's father, quickly became a fixture in the media. Angry, frustrated, and driven, Fred believed local police had failed from the start. He held press conferences, pushed for state and federal involvement, and repeatedly accused authorities of stonewalling the investigation. He also clashed with the New Hampshire State Police over access to case files. For years, they refused to release critical documents, citing an ongoing investigation. Even freedom of information requests were blocked. But even as Fred fought for answers, some questioned the family's version of events. Why didn't Maura's siblings speak publicly for so long? Why did the family seem so reluctant to share information about her personal life? Was it grief or something else? In the absence of facts, speculation metastasized, and the internet turned its attention from the missing woman to those she left behind. The strange behavior of Billy Roush Maura's boyfriend, Billy Roush, was stationed in Oklahoma at the time of her disappearance. He flew in immediately and joined the search, but his behavior raised eyebrows. In the days after Maura went missing, Billy received a voicemail that he claimed sounded like a whimpering woman crying. The call came from a calling card at a Red Cross shelter. The number was never linked to Maura, but the timing was eerie. Years later, text messages and emails from Billy to other women would leak online. Some of the messages were manipulative or controlling, leading internet sleuths to revisit their relationship. Was Maura trying to escape him? Or was he simply another devastated loved one caught in a storm of online paranoia? Nothing concrete has ever connected Billy to her disappearance. But in a story with no answers, even the ordinary feels sinister. The Coke bottle, the wine, and the rag back at the crash site. Investigators found a Coke bottle that smelled of alcohol, possibly wine. The box of Franzia wine in the car was open and had spilled. Did Maura drink before driving? Toxicology was never done, because there was no body. But the presence of alcohol sparked theories of a second crash, or of someone trying to obscure a DUI. Then there was the rag in the tailpipe, a bizarre detail no one could quite explain. Some said Maura's father had taught her to use it to suppress car smoke. Others said it was completely ineffective, possibly even dangerous. Was Maura trying to avoid police, or was someone else trying to cover their tracks? The red truck returns. One of the most persistent rumors in the case was the red pickup truck. Multiple locals in the area reported seeing a red truck parked near the crash site either that night or in the days surrounding Maura's disappearance. Some said it matched the description of a man who was known to be unstable, someone who lived in the woods, someone who might have offered a ride. But no suspect was ever arrested. No evidence ever placed Maura in such a vehicle. The red truck theory remains one of the most seductive what-ifs in the case. But the truth is, we don't know if it ever existed. Sightings that went nowhere. Over the years, alleged sightings poured in. A woman in Vermont said she saw Maura at a gas station. A clerk in New Hampshire claimed Maura came in to use the bathroom. A tipster said she was living in Canada under a new name. Private investigators chased these leads. Reporters flew to border towns. Nothing panned out. Even cadaver dogs, trained to detect human remains, gave conflicting signals. One dog allegedly hit near a home close to the crash site. In 2019, remains were dug up from the basement of that house. They turned out to be animal bones. Maura was nowhere. The Oxygen documentary. In 2017, the Oxygen Network launched a six-part series titled The Disappearance of Maura Murray. It reignited public interest and introduced the case to a new generation of true crime fans. The show featured private investigators, family interviews, and reenactments. It uncovered a few new leads, including the call to the condo in Bartlett, and reopened debates about Maura's mental state. But it also came under fire for dramatizing the case and giving screen time to debunked theories. For many, it felt less like an investigation and more like exploitation. Still, it shined a light on how cases like Maura's become entertainment, while real families remain shattered. The Facebook groups and Reddit wars, if you want to see the darkest side of amateur sleuthing, spend 5 minutes in the Maura Murray subreddit. Conspiracy theories abound. So do personal attacks. People accuse each other of being involved in the disappearance. Even family members are mocked, harassed, or accused of lying. Some threads dissect Maura's life minute by minute. Her final phone calls, her class schedule, her favourite meals. Others are devoted to criticising the behaviour of her father, her boyfriend, and even her college friends. There are users who claim to be in the know, hinting at secret knowledge. Others believe the entire case is a cover-up for something bigger: police corruption, human trafficking, or a military intelligence connection. But after 20 years of obsession, no Redditor has found her. And yet, the hunt continues. Was she suicidal? Some have suggested Maura was suicidal. She had crashed a car days earlier. She seemed stressed. She lied about a death in the family. She bought alcohol. She drove alone into isolation. But this theory never sat right with her father. Fred Murray has always insisted that Maura was a fighter. Resilient, athletic, brilliant. A West Point cadet, a runner, a survivor. Even if she was struggling, why would she go to such lengths? Why not leave a note? More importantly, if she did take her own life, where is her body? The woods were searched, rivers were scanned, helicopters and heat sensors scoured the terrain. Suicide is possible, but total erasure, that's harder to believe. Or did she run? Another theory is that Maura Murray didn't vanish. She escaped. Some believe she planned her disappearance meticulously, that she staged the crash, that she arranged for a ride, that she's alive somewhere under a new name, living a quiet life far from the scrutiny. After all, she was under pressure, legal trouble, academic stress, relationship strain. But to pull that off, she would have needed resources: fake IDs, transportation, a contact network. An absolute silence for 20 years. Not a single confirmed bank withdrawal. No passport activity. No arrests. No sightings. No confirmed voice recordings. People don't usually stay invisible forever. But if anyone could, it might be Maura. The inescapable unknown. In the end, Maura's story refuses to give up its secrets. She was a daughter. A student. A person. Not a symbol. Not a puzzle box. But the mystery of what happened to her has become so large, so dissected, so consumed by public speculation, that the human being at the centre has nearly vanished too. That's the cruel irony of a cold case in the digital age. The more people who join the hunt, the farther we sometimes drift from the truth. The person gets swallowed by the narrative, and 20 years later, the only thing we know for sure is that we don't know anything at all. Theories and conspiracies. Did she run away or meet foul play? Theory 1. She was abducted by a stranger. Most popular theory. She crashed, refused help, and was abducted by a passing motorist, possibly the driver of the red truck, supported by the lack of footprints and scent trail. But no suspects have ever been charged. No body has ever been found. Theory 2. She was picked up by someone she knew more chilling. What if Maura arranged a ride in advance? What if the crash was staged and she was picked up by a boyfriend, friend, or accomplice? Why did she search for places in Bartlett, NH? Could someone have lured her? Theory 3. She committed suicide in the woods. Some experts believe she walked into the forest and ended her life. But the scent trail disappears abruptly, and the area was thoroughly searched. No blood, no clothing, no remains. Suicide seems plausible, but not logistically satisfying. Theory 4. She ran away and is still alive. This is the Reddit favourite. A full escape. A new identity. No digital footprint. A planned vanishing act. But 20 years of silence is difficult to explain in the age of surveillance and data. Theory 5. Police misconduct or cover-up? Fringe theory, but one that persists. Some believe Mora had a confrontation with a police officer at the scene and something went wrong. This is supported by confusion over which car responded and inconsistencies in reports. No proof, just suspicion. The legacy of a vanished woman, Mora Murray's case, endures not because it's full of answers, but because it's full of silence. She became one of the first viral missing persons in the internet age, and perhaps the most misunderstood. Whether she ran, was taken, or met a tragic fate, the impact of her story is still unfolding. New search teams still go out, new podcasts still launch, and every year, strangers hold out hope that one day, the woods will speak. Until then, Mora remains a question.